Perhaps you might see yourself in this psalm. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass that will soon wither, like green plants they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Do not fret. Have you ever fretted? Are you fretting? Again and again in that psalm, do not fret, do not fret, do not fret. There's the negative. The positive, of course, is to trust, to commit yourself, your ways to the Lord, and wait for him. I am the most impatient person I know. And I've met some impatient people, but I think I'm actually even more impatient. So this is a message for me, a message for us all, I trust. Let's just pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, take these words now and apply them to our lives. We live in days where evil prevails in many ways, in all sorts of areas. And Lord, we echo that cry of the psalmist. But you know our hearts. And Lord, you know and guide us as we are willing to be guided by you. And so humbly we bow before you and ask that you would speak into our lives through this word. And indeed, through your wider word, the word of God that is the truth, that indeed sets us free. Set us free and keep us free through your word and that anointing of your spirit upon preacher and hearers. Bless your word here and indeed wherever it is proclaimed through this land and across the nations of the world this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Go back with me 6 or 7 weeks. It was hot then as well, wasn't it? It was the beginning of this long summer of 2018. This heat wave was beginning. And I remember it well because there was talk even then of 1976 and the droughts. You know, those news reporters, they draw things out, don't they? They turn our attention to what has been. And, you know, that's their job, I suppose. They have to speculate a little bit, but certainly they reflect upon what has been in the past. Now, I don't know about you, but I like a sunny day. I like a sunny day, but not too hot. And as I've mingled with you over the last 6 or 7 weeks, I think there's only one or two of you left who are actually loving every day now. Most of us are just melting in the heat, you know, curtains closed, you know, drafts blowing through the house, just trying to keep it cool. It's not British, is it? It's just not the way we do things here. 6 or 7 weeks ago when I was preparing this, I asked myself this question, which seems a bit strange, and perhaps I've been in the sun. I asked the question, what is the sunniest day in the Bible? Okay. What is the sunniest day in the Bible? And I just want to put a few options out there for you. You may not have thought of this before. But that question presents a few possible answers. Option one. The day sunlight became a reality. Genesis chapter 1. 3 to 5, 16 to 19. Let there be lights. God goes on to say, may two great lights, the greater light, to govern the day. That's option one. I mean, we're told that the sun is burning up or burning out. But on that day, it was made
its effects would have been at its fullest, wouldn't it? Brand new. A brand new sun with all its heat. Made perfectly by our God. The light that would be used and has been used to bring life and growth through its rays upon our earth. The light that brings warmth and delight to many, most of the time. The light that shines on us all. You know, one of the things that the psalmist uses to describe God is the sun. Not that we are sun worshippers, but when you think of the power and the greatness of the sun, life-giving, bringing love and delight to creation, that describes God pretty well. And so God is described as a sun, S-U-N. Into the New Testament, we read there how God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. God is so gracious. He doesn't just have little bits of sun for certain parts. Such is God's gracious way, his gracious love towards all he has made. And so there on day one, let there be lights. What a day, magnificent light shining. Was that the sunniest day? Well, it certainly was a bright sunny day. Of course, until man introduced the clouds of sin into the world. Yet still, you know, behind those clouds, the sun still shines. God's light for the world was ready to come and to rescue us in the Lord Jesus. And that should warm our hearts to think on that amazing truth. And that's obviously part of what we're going to do around the table, the communion table later. So there's my first option. Day one, the sun in all its glory, in all its heat, in all its newness. Is that the sunniest day in the Bible? Option two, the day the sun stood still. Joshua chapter 10. Now, don't ask me how, but 2 days in one. That's how it's recorded. God gave his people victory, listening to their cry. It was in the days of Joshua, and they were fighting against the Amorites. And the people were pressing forward against their enemies. But the day was drawing to a close, or they'd had the day. The day was up. And they needed more time. And so they simply prayed. And Joshua prayed for more time. And it says there in verse 14, the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. It goes down in the annals of history. That day was different. It was a long day. And it wasn't just, you know, a long day in the sense of, course, today's been a long day. It was enough to destroy the enemies and drive the people into the promised land. The Lord listened to a man. The Lord was fighting for Israel. You think about Joshua and the promised land. And think then of Jesus. Even the name in the New Testament is the equivalent. He intercedes for us. He speaks up for us in heaven. He has brought about our victory. He's won the battle. And of course, as we put our faith and trust in him, he shall bring us home to our eternal promised land. The Lord listened to a man. Wonderfully, at the right hand of God is the Lord Jesus, who shared our humanity. He ever lives there for us, having won the victory. It was a day like no other. That's what the book of Joshua testifies to. That's how it records it. A day when the sun literally stood still. There would come a day, of course, a day of great darkness in contrast to that day of great light when the Lord Jesus hung for us upon that Roman cross. The light of the world snuffed out there. Yet, of course, it was through what he went through for us that the victory was being won. In the darkness, the light was overcoming the darkness, but the darkness had to do all that it could, first of all. So there's a second option. It's a bit obscure. I don't think I fully understand it. Maybe it wasn't as bright that day as it was on day one, of course. But I want to present to you option three. The day the light of the world arose. The day where righteousness and justice were displayed so powerfully. And this takes us to Psalm 37 and verse 6. Because those verses don't just say, don't fret, it'll be all right in the end. Don't fret, it'll come out in the wash. Don't fret, these people will get their comeuppance. It does say all that, but it says this. He, God, will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. A sense of light piercing the darkness and getting ever, ever brighter. Righteousness and justice breaking through like never before. These are words spoken to the psalmist, but they are prophetic of the Lord Jesus and what he went through for us. For in that darkest hour, he was crucified like a common criminal, spat upon, beaten, nailed to a cross. Yet on that third day, he was vindicated. As Timothy says in chapter 3 and 16 of his first letter, or Paul's letter to Timothy, he was vindicated by the Spirit. And Romans 1, he, Jesus, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through the darkness, the light pierces its way through. The light is back. The light bursts forth. The righteousness displayed by Jesus was back. They said, oh, this is proof. Look at the way he dies. He dies as a common criminal. He's failed. But that wasn't right. He succeeded as our Savior. He died in our place, the just for the unjust. Justice was seen to be done when he triumphed over sin and death on that third day. I know it's not Easter, but allow me to indulge myself just a little bit. Because you know, on that Easter morning, the way the gospel writers record what happened, it's wonderful to behold when you put them together. Matthew records how it was at dawn that the resurrection took place. Literally just about the third day. You know, we talk about on the third day he rose again. It was literally the turn of the day. Such was the power, such was the victory, that it wasn't, oh, later on, you know, after 77 hours of labor, like my daughter-in-law, suddenly, oh, at last victory. No, on the very turn of the day, day three, bing, light breaks through. Power at dawn. That's when the resurrection took place. Mark's gospel says, just after sunrise. What a word. At sunrise, the sun rose. The sun rising, the Son of God arose and lives forevermore. Yes, Luke records two men, angels, gleaming like lightning, but they are in the shadows in comparison to the glory that is seen in our Lord Jesus. That focus is on his resurrection, not on the angels with the message. And for all of heaven's days, he is the Lamb that was slain, not the lamb that is, but the lamb that was, but the lamb now is seated at the right hand of God. The light could not be extinguished, and his light continues to shine today, even in 2018. In every believer's heart across the nations of the world, that light continues to be carried. Now, Psalm 37, as we read it, reminds us that we live in a dark world. It has always been a dark world from the day that sin came into it. And in the days of the psalmist, he had his battles, he had his struggles. But he was told even then, light will prevail. We're not to fret when evil seems to prosper. We are to trust. It describes the grass withering, and we've seen that under the heat in which we've been living in these last few weeks. We see the difference the light and the heat makes. We are to trust, and we are to do good. That is what we are to do. We are to overcome evil with good. And we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. We are not to lose our joy, but to keep our joy in the Lord. Trusting what he says, that he will make righteousness shine like the dawn and justice like the noonday sun. He did it for Jesus. He did it at Calvary. We have a classic example of it. When evil did its worst. And he can do the same and has done the same through the ages, through the years, as people have committed their ways to him and trusted him. Yes, you might say, well, what about this person who had to lay down their life, persecuted for the faith? It's not saying nothing bad will happen, but it's saying in the fullness of time, and that may even be in the eternal, in the resurrection, that righteousness will be seen, justice will be done in the decisions that we see for all eternity through the Lord. But for you and for me this morning, let's bring it right back to where we are in 2018. In our lives, dark days or bright days, the sun might be shining, but inside you might be really going through a dark time. There is hope in these words, that cloudy days can become sunny days. For the light of the world has risen. The light of the world brings light to our lives. I ask the question then, what is the sunniest day in the Bible? You might think of another example, and I'm happy for you to do that. But I've got another question. What was the sunniest, or what is the sunniest day in your life? Well, we're not just looking at a book. We're living out a book, I hope. We're taking some of the, all the truth, but you know, as much as we can take of the truth of God's word and seeking to live it out. How does that affect your life, my life? The sunniest day. Your wedding day? That was a sunny day. I was thinking about school holidays. I think I must have selective memory on those. I lived up north in Rochdale in Lancashire. It can't have always been sunny in the school holidays. It always rains up there. But I suppose because you're carefree and you've got time off school and it's just, you know, so wonderful. I just remember a few sunny days in the dim past of my mind. Family celebrations, perhaps. They're sunny days, aren't they? You don't always get the weather you hope for at weddings and other occasions, but sunny times, sunny days. What about the sunny day, the sunniest day as a Christian, as a believer, when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible talks about us being transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Coming out of darkness to light. That's a transformation. That's a change. Do you remember how that felt? Do you remember the impact that had upon your life? Paul writes to the Corinthians and he talks about the light of Jesus shining in our hearts. God made the light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. I was once in darkness, now my eyes can see, writes the chorus writer. I was lost, but Jesus sought and found me. Oh, what peace he offers, oh, what life he gives. I will sing forever that he lives. There's just a touch of what it means when the light shines into our hearts. We have to see ourselves with that light, but more importantly, we can see the glory of God in the face of Christ. Surely amongst the sunny days in your life, that stands out. If you've known that experience, if you've given your heart and life to the Lord, and the sun, the S-O-N, has shone in your heart and life. And of course we are to hold out light from our lives to others. The light comes into our hearts, but the light is to be shone out in what we do. Paul says to the Philippians, you shine like stars as you hold out the word of life. As we do what we do in Jesus' name, we're light in this dark world. He's the light of the world, but we are called lights of the world as well, reflecting his light. So the sunniest day of your life, you may look back upon it, but it may still be to come as the Lord shines in your life and shines through your life to others. But I know there is a day coming, another day to compare with the light that we've spoken of in the scriptures. The sunniest day to come. Revelation 21 simply puts it this way. The holy city Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel. A brilliance, a heavenly city, a heavenly home, as the glory of the Lord is revealed. That's the brightness, the future. That's the sunny day to come. That's where righteousness and justice will ultimately be seen to prevail completely. So in all this heat then this morning, and in the last 6-7 weeks, let me just conclude by just putting it out very simply to you. You know, there is a very simple parallel between the S-U-N and the S-O-N. The Son, made by God, the Son of God. God gives and sends both to us. The Son, of course, can harden or soften, can't it? It can dry out or it can melt. In the same way, people's response to the S-O-N, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is either to become hardened or for their hearts to be softened towards him. The Son can give life, health, warmth, delight, and so can Jesus. Sunlight overcomes darkness. You know, if I had a box here, I took the lid off, suddenly the light pervades the darkness. Where does the darkness go? It's overcome by the light. And so with Jesus, where his light comes into a life, what a difference that makes. Light dawns and grows ever stronger. So does Christ's kingdom. That is his promise to us. I know we look at the Western world, we look at our own country, our own community, and we see a decline. But I think you'll find as you look on the bigger picture of what's going on around the world over the generations, you'll see the kingdom spreading out, making new ground, reaching all sorts of places never dreamed of before. The sun up there will set, but not the S-O-N, not the Son of God. For he has conquered sin and death. There is nothing that can defeat him. And as light bathes all in its glory, we shall share Jesus' glory in our forever home. And so the parallel between the two, I hope you can see this morning. The question, of course, is, what do you know of this light in your own life? You might say, well, but I'm going through dark days. And we've seen from the Psalms already that the Psalms speak into those situations. They don't give you an instant answer. Press a few buttons and then everything is perfect again. Sometimes it's just a matter of committing yourself and trusting yourself to the Lord. But he does still shine in our hearts. He does still shine through the lives of believers for his glory. He will make your righteousness like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Sometimes you have to stand and you have to battle for that to be so. But the Lord promises that he will, in life, in all eternity, for those who stood for the righteousness and justice that Christ alone can bring. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him. Amen. Turn with